Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
In this year, we'll be talking about the halachos of Sfiras HaOmer. We know that starting the second night of Pesach, there's a chiyuv on all men to begin counting 49 days up till when the Omer was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Women are also allowed to count. However, there's no chiyuv on women to count. Actually, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes down that by us, it means back in Russia and also in the early days of America, there was no minhag for women to count. But if a woman does count, which is a more common custom today, she is allowed to make a bracha. However, the Mishnah Berurah does stipulate that a woman should only make a bracha if she's confident that she's not going to forget any days in between. And therefore, a woman should do her best to have a reminder every single day, as well as men should have a reminder every day, such as a sign in the house or having an alarm set on your watch or set on your cell phone, which reminds everyone to say the Sfira today. You can get a text every day or an email every day, which reminds one to say Sfiras HaOmer. The right time for saying Sfiras HaOmer is as soon as possible after Tzeisak Rechavim. Tzeisak Rechavim is approximately 45 minutes after Shkia. So if Maariv finishes then, that would be the right time to say it with a bracha. So most men do say it after Maariv. However, if Maariv is going to be earlier than 45 minutes after Shkia, the best thing would be to count with them, but without a bracha, and to make the following tonight, that if I forget later on to count with a bracha, then I should be yotze now when I'm saying it with the tzibur. But if I do remember it later on, I don't want to be yotze now, and in that way the person would be able to count later on together with a bracha. Now this zman of 45 minutes after Shkia l'chatchila is for someone who would normally finish Maariv by the, approximately at that time. However, if someone always davens Maariv at a set time later on, then they should say it together with the zman, with the gemar of when they will be finishing Maariv. So for example, if 45 minutes after Shkia would be 8:15 and they normally daven Maariv at 9 o'clock, then there's no problem waiting to count Sfira after Maariv, since that's their Zman Kavua and the time that they always do it. Nowadays, that many of us are davening at home due to the coronavirus, it would seem that we should daven Maariv at the right time, meaning finishing Maariv at 45 minutes after Shkia, or even L'chatchila to daven Maariv a little bit later, so that Kriya Shema, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, should be at least 45 minutes after Shkia, and that should be followed by Sfiras HaOmer. The latest time for counting Sfiras HaOmer is with Alais HaShachar. That's daybreak. If someone does not remember until after daybreak, but before Netzach Hama, you should count without a bracha, and then you can continue counting the other nights with a bracha. And that's because it's a Shiloh, when does the night actually end? Does it end by daybreak, or does it end by sunrise? So the Mishnah Berurah says that if one by mistake counted after Alais HaShachar, it's still enough of a suffix to allow you to continue counting the rest of the days with a bracha. If someone forgot a complete day, then you should continue counting without a bracha, but it is best to be yotze with the bracha of someone else who is still making a bracha. But Moshe Feinstein is quoted as saying that if you forgot to count and you only remembered after Shkia, as long as it's 20 minutes approximately after Shkia, or within 20 minutes after Shkia, you still can continue counting with a bracha on the other nights. And there are those who say, even if it's later, because since Rabbeinu Tam holds that Tzeisak Rechavim is only 58 and a half minutes after Shkia, so we could rely on that to say that it's still a Safek Yom, and therefore We have the Sveik Sveika. It's a suffix that maybe you did count on during the day, because according to Rabbeinu, time is still daytime. Plus, maybe even if you miss a day, you could continue counting with a bracha. But Rav Moshe definitely says at least 20 minutes after Shkia is no problem at all. And the same thing applies at the beginning, that if someone counted Tfilas HaEmer early, meaning within 20 minutes after Shkia, instead of waiting for 45 minutes after Shkia, and they did not count again that day until the next day, then also we have the same suffix, is it Yaimer, is it Laila, and therefore you could continue counting with a bracha on the other nights. A fascinating shayla that was asked to Moshe Feinstein is if someone travels to Hong Kong, where you really miss an entire day, a whole day is missing from your calendar, so how do you count Sfiras HaOmer in that case? So Rav Moshe Feinstein said that it's taka problem, and you'd have to continue counting without a bracha, since you did not count the full 7 weeks. Another interesting shayla asked is with a chayla who is not able to count because he's going to be sedated. And he knows he's going to be sedated, so does he count afterwards with a bracha? And knowing that it's scheduled, should he count even up until then with a bracha? So this question was asked to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, and he said that he cannot count with a bracha, and it's similar to what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Taf Pei Tes Seif Gimel, that a person who's going to miss a day should not count with a bracha. He says the Archas Chaim quotes the Shailos HaTshuvos Marva Ahala, said if a zaken ben mea shana who's sick, a chayla mesukan, and he strongly suspects he's not going to be finishing Sfira because he feels that his end is coming, should he make a bracha? So he says the Marva Ahala says that you should make a bracha, even though it's a big suffix if you're going to be mashlim the Sfira. And if that's the case, the question is, in our situation where you have a scheduled sedation, why is it any different? So the chiluk is that an elderly person, number one, has a cheskas chayim. And even whether he's going to finish or not is a suffix. And even if he wouldn't finish, it's a suffix if he's supposed to make a bracha anyway. So we're left with this fake sveika, which would allow you to make a bracha. But where it's scheduled that you're for sure going to miss a day, in that case, we don't have a sveik sveik anymore. We only have one suffik, and therefore you should not make a bracha. Another chiluk, which Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings down, is that the zaken, who's in danger, he's counting as long as the Eibishter gives him life. As far as he's concerned, I'm counting, I'm here, I'm alive, I'm going to do the mitzvah. I don't know what the future brings. I'm in Hashem's hands. And if Hashem does not allow me to finish, but I still counted every single day that I'm alive. And he says it's similar to what we find, that some shittas hold that a katan who becomes a bar mitzvah during Sfira, even if he didn't count when he was a katan, he could still count with a bracha. Similar to what Rabbi Eliezer in Mesechta Sukkah says in Daf Chav Zayin, that although you're not allowed to make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, if you did not keep the mitzvah of Sukkah b'yom Rishon, why? Because all of the days of Chol HaMoed is a continuation of the Chag HaSukkah is Tasilcha Shivas Yomim. It's a 7-day Yom Tif. But Rabbi Eliezer would agree that a katan shehigdol b'Chol HaMoed, if a katan becomes bar mitzvah on Chol HaMoed, he is chayav in Sukkah, even though he doesn't have the 7 days, since he's sitting in the Sukkah all the days that he's mechuyev to sit in the Sukkah. So therefore, the same thing would be over here, that an elderly person is going to be counting all the days that he is mechuyev to, and therefore he would fulfill the mitzvah. Whereas a person who's going to go through a sedation knows that he's not going to be counting on the days that he is mechuyev, and therefore he's not going to be able to continue making a bracha on the other days. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein though mentioned in another case regarding a similar shayla that was asked by an elderly person, should he be making a bracha because he feels very, very weak? And he doesn't know, because of his tremendous amount of weakness, he'll be able to do every single day. And also, the doctors are telling him, due to his current medical situation, that they don't think he will be around to finish the Sefira. So, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein said the exact opposite is true. He says that one of the tricks that young children have, if he wants to get a candy out of his mother and the mother doesn't want to give him a candy, is you simply say, when the mother's holding the candy, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvarei. And in that case, if the mother doesn't give you the candy, it's a bracha levatala. So therefore, the mother will for sure give the candy. He says, so too over here, that if you make the bracha, and you don't finish Sefira, it's a suffix that it's going to be a bracha levatala. And therefore, the midas hadin will be anos to give you the extra time to live, to complete the full 49 days. Otherwise, it would be a bracha levatala. So the man listened to him, and Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein writes that kachave, that he was able to finish the entire Sefira, and soon after Shavuos, he returned to the Olam HaEmes. And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says that we find this by all mitzvahs as well. We find that the Chaytvei Eitzim, the Beis HaMikdash, those who chopped the wood for the Beis HaMikdash, all of them, no one died while they were in the middle of doing that mitzvah. Also, the Chalutzei Tzava, the ones who went out to war for Klal Yisrael, they all went back home after the 14 years of the Sheva Shekivshu, the Sheva Shechilku, because they were being Isaac in a mitzvah. So too over here, if a person is mekabel on himself to make a bracha and to try to start doing the Sefira with the Kavanah to finish it, then the Eibishter will, Mirtz Hashem, give him a bracha that he'll be around to finish the Sefira. If someone is not sure if they counted Sefira the day before or not, they may continue to count with a bracha, because again, we have these fake sveika. When we do say Sefira Sa'imer, we're supposed to stand from the beginning of the bracha until after counting. If one mistakenly sat, we're yaitz of the mitzvah anyway. The exact words for counting, we know, are printed in most sidurim. Some say ba'imer, some say la'imer. We're yaitz of the mitzvah no matter what. One must understand the words that you're using to count. If someone doesn't know Hebrew, even if they could read Hebrew, they do not get the mitzvah for counting Sefira Sa'imer, because the idea is counting, and you can't be counting if you're saying it in a language that you don't understand. So therefore, if one does not understand Hebrew, they should be counting in English or in any language that they do understand. After counting, there's a minute to say or various tefillos. Each one should follow their own minhag. If we don't know what day it is and what to count, and someone asks you, what should I count tonight? So the correct answer would be, yesterday was such and such. If one did not say yesterday was such and such, so then you have a shaila only during the first 6 days of the Omer. Because during the first 6 days of the Omer, the only counting is today's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So if you said today's 6, it's a suffix that perhaps you counted already. Once you get though to the day 7 and on, since we count both days and weeks, so we would normally say today is Shiva Yamim Shem Shavua Chad Ba'Omer, and you said today is 7, you didn't say 1 week, so it's clear you're not trying to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, and therefore there would be no problem continuing to count with a bracha. Another way to address it is if, let's say, someone's asking you and they really are not that well, they're not educated, they don't have a background, and you really have to spell it out for them what to say, so you simply just think that I'm not being yotz at a mitzvah when you tell them what to count. And since we pass in that mitzvah srichas kavana, and definitely if you have kavana not to be yotz, you're not yotz, that would be another way to resolve that. Just simply have kavana that you're not being yotz at a mitzvah of Sefiras Ha'omer. Now, once the time comes for Sefiras Ha'omer, we said earlier that's approximately 45 minutes after Shkia. But a half an hour before that, one cannot be Isaac in any other activity. So basically it means that starting 10, 15 minutes after Shkia, we're not allowed to get involved in activities that will possibly drag on because of a chashash that maybe we're not going to remember to count later on. So that means one should not eat supper, sit down to a meal, or start a new chavrusa within half an hour, starting 15 minutes after Shkia. The exception for this would be if one is has a set time. If one sets an alarm, then that would be acceptable. Regarding the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'Omer, we mentioned the machlokes earlier, whether or not a katan who becomes a gadol during Sfira, should he continue counting? So Moshe Feinstein had mentioned many times that if a boy becomes bar mitzvah during Sfira, there's no shiloh that of course he has to continue counting with a bracha. Because just like before his bar mitzvah, he had to count with a bracha in order to be for chinuch, to be neschanech in the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'Omer, so too after his bar mitzvah there's a mitzvah of chinuch. Because the Gemara in Bracha seems to say that the mitzvah of chinuch can continue even up until 22 years old. So therefore, after bar mitzvah is no worse than before bar mitzvah. Just like before bar mitzvah, you need chinuch to do it properly. Definitely after bar mitzvah, we have to be nischanech. There are some poskim that are machadesh that a child who missed from Sfira before his bar mitzvah, then after his bar mitzvah, from the day of his bar mitzvah on, he should continue counting with a bracha. And the reason is because since from that day he becomes a bar chiyuva, so for him, it's tmimais tehiyana. So therefore, his din of tmimais starts from that day, because that he'll be fulfilling the mitzvah in all of the days that he is mechuyev in mitzvah, similar to like we said beforehand, that by the Zakein, who doesn't think he's going to survive to be around for Sfiras Ha'Omer, to finish the 49 days, still he would count because he's for him it's Tamimais. All the days that he's alive, he is counting. This Shita also talks about a Ger. If a Ger is in the sky during Sfiras Ha'Omer, also from the day that he's a Ger, he'd be able to count with a Bracha. However, the Piskei Tshuvas and Siman Tov Beites Ayis Chafei says Lemaisa, the Olam is not Noyig this way, and the only time we allow a child who becomes Bar Mitzvah during Sfiras Ha'Omer to continue counting with a bracha is if he did not miss any days from before his Bar Mitzvah. Regarding which days of Sfira to keep, there are some people who are Noyig the Inyanim of Avelos, the first half of Sfira. Some people keep it the second half of Sfira. And some people keep the whole Sfira as well. And there's a fourth Shita, which is to keep the whole Sfira, but with breaks in the middle, with various breaks. And we know the Mishnah Berurah says that there's no problem going back and forth. If one year you can keep the first days, one year you can keep the second days. However, it's fascinating that Reb Moshe Feinstein was Machalik, and he said it depends why you're changing. Says if you're just changing your minhag of keeping the first sphere, second sphere, says yes, you could change it because there's no reason not to change it. However, if your reason why you're keeping the first sphere is because you hold that the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva died in the first half up until Lag BaOmer, and you hold they did not die after Lag BaOmer, in that case you would not be allowed to keep the second sphere, because for you there's no zman, that's not a zman of Avelus. So he said it really depends on what's going on in your mind. If it's simply changing Minhagim, no problem, you could change Minhagim, but if it's because you hold that they died either at the first half or the second half, then you have to keep whatever it is that you hold. Now, there's various Minhagim of Avelos regarding listening to music. Now, first of all, if a person is invited to a wedding by someone who keeps the other sphira, you're allowed to go to the wedding, you're allowed to listen to music, and you're even allowed to dance at the wedding. Which means, let's say you keep the first sphira, and someone else who keeps the second sphira is making a wedding before Rosh Chodesh, you're allowed to go to that chasana, and you're even allowed to dance, even though for you it is sphira. We're noyig not to get married, not to have a chasana during a sphira. However, you could get engaged and you could make a vart. But a vart cannot have music or dancing. We also don't take haircuts. And the exception would be if there's a mitzvah to take a haircut. Another chiluk, another exception is if someone's making a bris for a newborn son, then the father can take a haircut on the day of the bris or the day before the bris. Also, someone who's going to get married is allowed to take a haircut on the Friday before his chasna, meaning the Friday before his ifruf, and you can continue to shave throughout the week of Sheva Brachas, even though it may already be overlapping with Sfira. One could also take a haircut for health reasons. And also, if one needs to go to a important meeting with a government official, or if it's an issue of parnasa, that someone can lose a tremendous amount of money if he doesn't go to a business meeting looking put together, or if his employer requires it, then there's definitely makom to be mekel, but definitely one should consult with their rav before one makes that decision. It's interesting that there's a tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein which seems to contradict this. And the story is as follows. A rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Mas'ud ben Shimon, was asked by a mashgiach kashrus that he works in a very fancy restaurant in one of the cities in the north of Israel where many diplomats come. And during Sfira, he didn't shave. So the owner of the restaurant came over to him and said to him, look, you know that we have a very upper-class restaurant here, and we get very, very, you know, respectable people here. Everyone in my restaurant has to be looking the best possible. So you have two options. Either you're going to shave, and then you can keep your job, or if you don't shave, you're fired. So the mashgiach asked Rabbi Mas'ud what to do. So Rabbi Mas'ud turned to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein and asked him. So they initially thought that, well, number one, for parnasa, you could shave your beard. Number two is that if he doesn't shave his beard and he gets fired, so who are they going to hire as a mashgiach? Someone who doesn't mind shaving. So if it's a person who doesn't mind shaving, what have we accomplished as far as kashrus is concerned? The standards of kashrus would probably be lower. And they brought down, there's a tshuva from the Moshe of Zakenim that discusses why Moshe Rabbeinu threw down the luchos when it came down from Har Sinai. And he asks that why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu simply put them betachtes sahar, put them down on the floor, see what's going on, and then deal with it later. But why did he have to immediately throw them down? So the Moshe of Zakenim answers that since they were heavy, and if he would put them down slowly, like put them down in a nice place, then it would take him longer to get to Klal Yisrael to stop them from doing an Avera. And Moshe wanted to rush as fast as possible to stop them from doing an Achet, and therefore, throwing down the Luchos was done in order to prevent Klal Yisrael from doing an Avera. So it says the Moshe of Zakenim, he says, v'kosav hariach, that we learn from here that if a person's carrying a Sefer Torah and he sees that people want to do an Avera and holding the Sefer Torah wouldn't allow him to get quickly to stop those people from doing the Avera, he'll allow to throw the Sefer Torah down on the floor in order to prevent them from doing a Chet. So, said Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein thought initially that, so to hear, why not shave and do an Avera in order to stop other people from eating food, which would be on the lower standard of kashrus. But then he says, he spoke it over with Rav Mas'ud, and he decided that really there would be an aspect of Chil Hashem here. Because first of all, people are going to see this mashgiach, who's known to be a Yeri Shemayim, shaving during Sfira. He's going to be going home and meet the neighbors, and they're not going to know that the reason why he's shaving is because he did it for a parnasa. And number two is the very fact that you're listening to the demands of the restaurant owner is a Chil Hashem. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein said he asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky what he thinks. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky agreed that it would be a Chil Hashem and it's also for him to cut his beard. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky recommended he should speak to the Rav HaMachshir of the restaurant. And he did go to the Rav HaMachshir, who called up the restaurant owner and said to him, if you make your mashgiach shave his beard, I am going to shave your kosher certificate and take your, you know, the certification off of your restaurant. And suddenly the restaurant owner changed his mind and he realized that it's possible to have a mashgiach who has a beard. So this is interesting because although we said earlier that for parnasa there is a makam to be matir, but yet over here they were not willing to be matir him for parnasa. So I think there's a difference because number one, we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael And we're talking about a mashgiach who was working for the Rabbanut. So if he wouldn't work in this restaurant, they could simply replace him in another restaurant. Also, because the restaurant owner was a Yid and he knew the halachos, it could be there's a bigger aspect of Chil Hashem than if someone's working in America for a non-Jew or an Amatziv where there is no tension between Yiddishkeit and non-Yiddishkeit, and therefore there wouldn't be the same Chil Hashem. Perhaps that's the answer. Rav Moshe Feinstein was also asked, is it mutter for a girl who's getting engaged on Lag BaOmer to take a haircut on Erev Lag BaOmer, on Lamed Beis, on the 32nd day of the Omer? So Rav Moshe said that, number one, it's not so clear that the Isurim of Avelus, the Dinim of Avelus, are chal on women. It's not really beferish anywhere that it's chal on them. It's sure to keep them minhug, and therefore it's a good thing for them to keep, but it definitely is a bigger makom to be makel on women than there is on men. So Rav Moshe said that it really depends on what's being done. If it's simply shortening the length of hair, which doesn't make a big difference, he said that should not be done. But if it's a matter of taking off stray hairs, which can affect her overall appearance, then that's something which would be mutter for her to do. It's also understood that for married women, that anything that would make them improve their appearance vis-a-vis their husbands is permitted during Sfira. As far as removing hair from the legs, Rav Moshe Feinstein said that, yeah, it's the same thing. For a married woman, it would be okay, as we explained earlier, but for a single girl, it's something that should be pushed off to a better time. Definitely the tzarech mitzvah for tefillah or for tznius, let's say the hair is getting just too wild and it's not tzniustic, then it's okay and there's no problem at all. As far as doing eyebrows or eyelashes, that's not included in the Isurim of Sfira, and if that's mutter for everyone. But other hair, other body hair, is included in Tespiris and shouldn't be mutter unless it is a tzarech miyuchad, a specific reason to be matir. And now the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tav Tzadi Gimel that in the Ramah, that someone, a Baal Bris, that's the father of the baby, is allowed to take a haircut, L'chaved Demila. And the question was asked to Moshe Feinstein, is a mutter also for a sandik to take a haircut a few days before the Mila, if it's going to be difficult for him to get a haircut on the day of the Mila? So Rav Moshe Feinstein said that he doesn't really see why it's necessary to get a haircut. Because even though we say it's mutter to get a haircut l'tzarech demila, that's only if you need it. But nowadays there are so many people who have beards that there's no need to shave, there's no need to get a haircut. And plus, everyone really takes a haircut. Everyone is letting the hair grow long, and therefore there's no real need. It's not called a tzarech to get a haircut beforehand, then it's okay. You know, if it's the day of the bris, that's something else. But a few days beforehand, we would not be matir. As far as children, Rav Moshe Feinstein said the same thing applies, that children also should not get haircuts during Sfira, if they are already at the age of Higiyah L'chinuch. But if they're not Higiyah L'chinuch, then it could be there would not be a problem at all. Another question that was asked to Moshe Feinstein is, if someone's going on a date, should they take a haircut before the date, or could they shave before the date? So Moshe Feinstein said, the Mikra din it really is mutter to get a haircut for the sake of the date. Because we're mevatel real avelus for the sake of a chasana, and definitely you don't have to wait 7 weeks to push off your dates. You're not going to cancel all dates for 7 weeks.
But the problem is that if a boy takes a haircut, people are going to look at him like he's not from. How come you're showing up to the date, looking clean and shaven, if the halacha is you're not allowed to shave? Mitzad acher, Reb Moshe says that if he does not take a haircut, even though the girl knows that he's a from boy, but he's still not going to put his best foot forward. And the first impression is very, very important. So it says, Reb Moshe would say, it's something that needs to be clear, judged carefully. It's definitely more of a tzad to be makel for a girl than for a boy. And, what's recommended is that boys do not get haircuts for dates, but it's something which may depend on each individual situation. Another fascinating shayla, was regarding a shaving a mustache, trimming a mustache. Because we know it's mutter to trim a mustache once it begins to affect the way you're eating. So the following shayla was asked by a Rebbe and a cheder. He said he got a phone call from one of the boy's parents, who asked him if he can please trim his mustache. Why? Because he said his son is hard of hearing, and he reads the lips of the Rebbe. And because the Rebbe has a long mustache, the boy is not able to read his lips anymore. So the Malamed, right away, went ahead and trimmed his mustache right in the middle of Sfira. And he said he's doing it because of Gezel, because since he's getting paid by the Cheder to teach all of the children in the class, if one child can't learn because of his mustache, it's a Shiloh of Gezel. But then he had self-doubt and he came to ask a Shiloh. So he asked Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, who again said, you did the right thing, and even during the 9 days, it would have been mutter to do it. He says, the only shayla, though, would be on Chol HaMoed. And he said, still, he thinks that on Chol HaMoed it would be mutter in such a scenario, mitzad Dover HaAved. Since it's din of Dover HaAved, it would be mutter. There's another fascinating shayla that came up, someone who had converted to another religion, and he came back, he wanted to do tshuva. He came back during Sfira, and there's a minhag when someone comes back from another religion that he shaves all of his entire beard and the mustache. So he had come from another land where they had threatened to kill him if he didn't convert, and now he was able to come to Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to come back to Yiddishkeit. So in those days, in that situation as well, he was allowed to shave his beard during Sfira. Okay, one of the nyanim that we don't do during Sfira is listening to live music or to recorded music. So Reb Moshe Feinstein points out that really year-round, a person is not supposed to listen to any music, bikvios. And even though during the rest of the year there are heterim, but during Sfira, everyone is noyig to be machmir. But Rav Belsky would say that if someone is a moody person or discontent, has a, down, very down, and music would lift them up and help them emotionally, then you're allowed to listen as long as you don't listen to it excessively. You could listen to slow music, but not excessively, because that's considered lirifuah. It's not considered for hanah, it's considered lirifuah, and therefore it would be okay. As far as playing musical instruments, if you're learning to play so that you can have parnasa, that would be mutter. However, if you simply have a hobby to play, that would be usser. If a child plays and his parents are paying for him to have lessons to play, so the assumption is that the kid is more or less doing what his parents want. He's not having much simcha out of it, and therefore it would be mutter to have music lessons during Sfira as well. But again, if it's ultimately for parnasa, there's no question it's going to be mutter. Reb Moshe was also asked if a group wants to get together to prepare for a wedding. Let's say a band wants to get together just to rehearse so that they can be ready to play after Sfira. Reb Moshe would say that should not be done, because since there's so many people coming together, that's already too much befarhesia, and it's a problem. Regarding someone who's taking a course in college for music, and he needs to practice during Sfira, and if he doesn't, he may end up failing the course, then again, it's considered davar aved, it's going to be mutter. But if not, it's best not to do it, since it's not an inyan of parnasa, it's only an inyan of education. Another shayla that has been asked to Reb Moshe was a ganenet, that's a kindergarten teacher, asked her friend to come to make a recording of her playing music that she could play in the kindergarten. So this is only a friend of the teacher. The teacher herself is allowed to play because that's her parnasa. The question is, does the friend have the heter of parnasa too, doing the teacher a favor? So Reb Moshe says that, yeah, she has the heter. Number one, she's not playing l'shem simcha. It's simply part of her job. And even though it's not her job, she's doing it for the preschool teacher. But still, she's doing it for the preschool teacher's job. And therefore, it's going to be mutter as well. A fascinating shayla that was asked to Rebbe Eliashiv was, are you allowed to listen to music while you're driving and you're very tired and you're afraid you're going to fall asleep? Can you listen to music during Sefira to keep yourself awake? So Rebbe Eliashiv said that if you're tired, you're not allowed to drive because the matzav of sakana. And it's not for sure that music's going to keep you awake. So therefore, no, you're not allowed to listen to music to keep you awake simply because you're not allowed to be driving. So what you have to do is pull over to the side and go to sleep. So then Rebbe Eliashiv would ask, what happens if you're a Hatzalah member and you need to drive an ambulance or take care of someone's health? And you have to drive. You have to drive when you're tired. So can you listen to music? So Rebbe Eliashiv said, again, no, it's not just pikuach nefesh for yourself. It's pikuach nefesh for the person who you're going to save also. Right? Now you're driving your ambulance with someone in the back or two people in the back. And if you fall asleep, it's a sakana for everyone. So absolutely not, says Rebbe Eliashiv. If you're tired, you're not allowed to be driving at all. And if you need music to stay awake, simply pull over and go to sleep. Have someone else take the Hatzalah calls and someone else should be driving the ambulance. An interesting postscript is that someone asked of Neuvert, who the one who wrote Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, he says, what would you say? So his immediate response was, are you going to allow him to smoke on Shabbos? So what he meant to say was, it was a famous shayla that was asked by a doctor who had to do an emergency surgery. And in order for him to focus, he always had to have a cigarette. So he would always smoke before surgery. The shayla was, if he's doing the surgery on Shabbos for Bikoach Nefesh, can he also have a cigarette beforehand so that he'll be fully focused on doing the surgery well? So the answer is that no, he cannot smoke beforehand because the heter of pikuach nefesh is only things that are directly related to the sakana. Whereas the surgeon who's going to be smoking, that smoking has no direct kesher to the pikuach nefesh and therefore it's not going to be mutter. And Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa also in Perek Lamed Beis, Ha'ara Pei Beis says that we don't find the Yomachalal in Isser Deraisa, only where it's mamish negeah to the refua itself. And he quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman, Arbach Zatzal, held that it's usser to bring a newspaper or a reading book where there's no Erev for a chayla, even though it's going to make the chayla relaxed and maybe help him get past his chayli, but still, since it's not directly related to the refua, we're not matir, being Michal Shabbos in that way. So he says, if so, the driver who's putting himself into sakana, and in order to take away the sakana, he's thinking that if he puts on the music during Sefira, it'll be pikuach nefesh, and therefore it should be mutter. But in essence, if you're going to be matir him to do that, then you're really going to end up allowing him to smoke on Shabbos, because it's not directly related to the issue, and therefore it would not be mutter to listen, turn on music in order to stay awake. Rather, the person should pull over and go to sleep on the side. Another shayla was asked by two seminary girls who always go to an old age home where there's an older woman there who every time she comes, she was 102 years old, and she would love to play the piano. And whenever they came over, she would bang away on the piano, and she wasn't so frum. So they once visited her during Sefira, and she started to play her piano. And they weren't sure what to do because it's Sefira Sa'imer. And the woman didn't know what Sefira was. And if they can tell her to stop, she might think it's weird. And she's not going to really chop what they want from her. And to leave the room wouldn't seem to be right either. So what should they have done? So this shayla was asked to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, and he says that the iser of listening to music during Sfira is letzarech simcha. If you're doing it for happiness, that is usser. But if you're listening to music for ripoy, for health, then there's no iser. There's no minhag to asser. Like we said before, and from Reb Belsky, if someone is a moody person, or if someone's very down and they need music to lift up their spirits, then it's okay to listen to a soft music. So says Reb Zilberstein, this elderly woman, she lives alone. She's in an old age home. And when she plays the piano, that's not called letzarech simcha. That's called for health. That's for refuah. Because it helps her forget her problems from the difficulties in her life. And he says there was no gezeira on such type of music. And therefore, he says definitely the lady is allowed to play the piano. Not only could she play it, but the girls are even allowed to sing along with her and to help make her happy. And it would be a tremendous mitzvah as well. There are those who are mekel at a seudas mitzvah, such as a bar mitzvah, a bris, a pidyon haben, or a siyam, or a chnasas sefer Torah, to dance, but without music. However, a vart, that's not considered a seudas mitzvah, and therefore it would not be mutter to dance without music. Rav Moshe was asked an interesting shaila regarding a couple who got married out of town, and they came back home, and they wanted to make a reception during Sfira without music and without dancing, just so the people who were not at their wedding can participate in the simcha. And the idea was it would be like an open type of a thing, like a reception with a finger food. People would come in, wish mazel tov, and then they would leave. And the question was, can you do this during Sfira? So Rav Moshe writes, this is in Siman Tzadiches, he says that we don't find that the lechur, it's not included in the minhagim of Avelus, but he says, but maybe minasvari should be machmir because it's in of simcha. But then Rav Moshe says that by marriage itself, by nisuin itself, it's considered a seudas mitzvah. As long as anything you do within 30 days of the wedding is considered a seudas mitzvah, like the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Ches says that ad shleishim yoim, even if you don't say it's machmas hilula, it's considered a seudas mitzvah. And after 30 days, until Yud Beis Chodesh, it's only considered machmas the simcha if you say it's because of the simcha. And the nafkamin is, you say she'a simcha b'ma'aynai. So up until 30 days, you do she'a simcha b'ma'aynai if you say you're celebrating the chasana. After 30 days, only if you... until 30 days, no matter what, you say she'a simcha b'ma'aynai. After 30 days, only if you say this is part of the celebration of our wedding. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, when they're doing this reception, it's technically a seudas mitzvah. And they would be able to say she'a simcha b'ma'aynai. And therefore, it should be mutter to do it. Now, Rav Moshe says, even though today we don't say she'a simcha b'ma'aynai after Sheva Brachos, based on the Mechaber and Evin Ezra Siman Samach Beis Sifyud Gimel, who says that our simchas today are mixed in with simcha, which is not l'shem mitzvah, so we don't say she'a simcha b'ma'aynai after Sheva Brachos. But as far as this nekuda, that it's still considered a seudas mitzvah, that would be mutter. And therefore, he said, during Sfira, they could make this reception where people would come in, as long as there's no music and no dancing. And he says, kol shekein, in this case, it would be mutter, because they're not even making a seuda. They're only eating derech aroi, just finger food type of thing. We're not sitting down and washing and making a seuda, and therefore, it would be mutter to do it during Sfira. Now, many people have a minhag not to make a bracha of shechiyanu during Sfira. Now, the truth is that it's not usser to make a bracha of shechiyanu on a new fruit during Sfira. The Mishneh Berurah says that it actually is mutter, but that there's some people have a minhag not to do it during Sfira, but even those who have the minhag not to make a shechiyanu during Sfira could make the shechiyanu on Shabbos or on Lag Ba'omer. And also, if let's say they have a fruit which is not going to be available on Shabbos or on Lag Ba'omer, they're allowed to say the shechiyanu during Sfira also. The general minhag is not to buy or wear new clothing, which you would say a shechiyanu for. However, inexpensive clothing which does not require shechiyanu can be bought during Sfira. So basically, single garments which are purchased, or undergarments which are purchased, or socks, basic things which you never make a shechiyanu on, there would be no problem buying them during Sfira. And again, it's not usher to make a shechiyanu during Sfira, it's only that some people have that minhag. Another discussion is regarding, can you have your house painted during Sefirah? And the answer is that you can. This is Eliezer says you can, because there's no great simcha in having your house painted or having basic upkeep to your house, having the walls replastered, let's say. That's not a great simcha because you're not really redoing the house. As far as going into a new house or buying a new house and moving into a new house or making a Chanukah Sabayis, that there are different opinions. Some say that since you would be making a Shechiyonah by the Chanukah Sabayis or by purchasing the new house, therefore you should not do it during Sefirah. And therefore, if you do need to move, you should make the Chanukah Sabayis on Rish Chodesh or on Lag BaOmer, or at least put on the mezuzahs before Sefirah. And this is based on a Tshuvas based Mordechai, that Kriyas HaMezuzahs is considered like a Chanukah Sabayis. But there's some people who are not Cheshish for all of this, and they say that there's no problem moving into a new home during Sefirah no matter what. And also the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel, also would paskin that it's mutter to go into a new dira during Sefirah. And the Tzitz Eliezer and others, the Rebbe Avadia, also say that if the reason why you're moving to a new house is simply just to have a wider place to live, a better place to live, that's also not a problem, and you're allowed to do it during Sefirah. For children that their clothing gets dirty or ruined, it's mutter to have them wear new clothing if it's necessary. And so too, if for a gadol whose Shabbos suit ripped, or any garment which would normally make a shechiyonu on, so it's a question of kavod abriyos, or if it's b'makom tzar, that the person is very distraught that they don't have another garment to wear, then it would be mutter to do it as well. Some paiskim are matir l'tzarech erisin, to buy new clothing to get engaged. If someone's having a vart, they're allowed to buy a new suit. That would be okay. Some say that it's best to do a taras nadarim, but the bottom line is there is an oifen where it would be mutter to get new clothing for the sake of a vart. Regarding a cappella music, it's just a fascinating psak from Rav Belsky, and I saw that the Rav Vosner also, and Shevet Levi, also says the same thing, that a cappella music, which sounds like regular music, has the same din as regular music. So although there are all these Sfira tapes and the 3-week tapes, according to them, it's still considered music, and it would not be mutter to listen to all of them during Sfira, but as you know, many people are makel. I would just like to finish off this year with a Baal Hamar in Pesachim Daf Chav Chesam and Aleph, that he asks that by Sfira Sa'imer, some ask, why don't we make a bracha of Shechiyanu on the mitzvah Sfira Sa'imer? The second night of Pesach, when we start counting the Sfira, we should make a bracha Shechiyanu. And he asks furthermore that the second night of Sfira, the second night of Pesach, is really a Suffolk, that it's the first night of Pesach. So if so, maybe we should not count with a bracha. Why don't we have to be concerned about a Sfeika de Yoma? And he asked many, many other questions, but the bottom line is, at the end, he says that the rule is we only make a Shechiyanu when there's some benefit for the person, some hana for the person. For example, Natilas Lulav, it makes you happy. It's a mitzvah of simcha to shake the lulav, and therefore you're becoming happy, so we make a shechiyanu. Blowing the shofar, we benefit because we're being masked ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mikra Megillah, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, so we benefited from it. Pidyon HaBen, the father makes the shechiyanu, not because of the mitzvah, but because his son is going to live. He's no longer a nefel. He's survived 30 days. We could assume he's going to continue to survive. And Sfira Sa'omer, there's no hana there. There's no benefit. The only reason why we count the Omer today is not because there's a chiyuv d'oraisa too, but it's for agmas nefesh. The churban beis ma'avayenu is to remember the churban habayis. And perhaps one of the reasons why we are noig avelas in addition to the talmidim of Rabbi Akiva is because the whole idea of Sfira Sa'omer is only zeche l'churban. according to the Baal Hamar, and that's something to contemplate about, that we're counting to remember the Korban HaOmer that used to be brought, and how Klai Yisrael always was mitzapeh b'chilyo neinayim for the Beis Ma'avayenu to be able to fulfill all of the mitzvahs, may be takavi zecha to fulfill all of the mitzvahs from here of Yameinu. Amen.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.